Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Judy Garland, 1939, singing Over the Rainbow for The Wizard of Oz. 70-plus years on, her namesake, the great Judy Collins, is singing the great classic. We'll talk with her today about Somewhere Over the Rainbow, all the ways it's been done, and her own music and amazing life in song. This hour on Point, Judy Collins and Over the Rainbow. You can join the conversation. Where does Somewhere Over the Rainbow take you? Where does Judy Collins take you? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Judy Collins joins us from New York. Her career is legendary. She was in the generation of folk artists who came up out of Greenwich Village, Joan Baez, Bob Dylan, Richie Havens, more. Made her name with stunning, ethereal hits, Someday Soon, Bird on a Wire, Both Sides Now, Send in the Clowns. She's never stopped performing. Her new CD, just out, is Paradise. We'll hear cuts from it. Also out, the new children's book, Over the Rainbow, with the lyrics of the classic song, accompanied by illustrations from Eric Pouberet, and the song itself on CD from Judy Collins. The New York Times wrote just a few weeks ago, her slightly unworldly voice is still an instrument that evokes angelic visions. Judy Collins, welcome to On Point. It is great to have you here.
Oh, thanks so much. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
You're still evoking angelic visions. Way to go.
Thank you so much. Well, it's a pleasure to be singing this song that I've lived with as the rest of the planet has lived with for all these years, and to have been invited to sing it by my old friend Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary, who has an imprint now because Puff the Magic Dragon was very, very successful.
As a children's book illustrated.
Yes, yes. Illustrated by the same wonderful French artist, Eric Pouberet, who did Over the Rainbow. I think he's just fantastic.
Is it true that you're named after Judy Garland? That's what we read. Did Mom and Dad tell you the same?
Well, my father was a great singer, performer, had a radio show for 30 years. When I was born in Seattle on May 1st of 1939, 4 months later in September, out came the record of Over the Rainbow on the radio. So I heard it. My father learned it. And as you mentioned before, my mother told me I was named after Judy Garland. My father said, no, you were named after Judith, the queen in the Bible that cut off the head of Holofernes.
So oh, Lord.
It was a kind of strange combination.
I'd take Judy Garland, I think.
I've opted for the Judy Garland routine.
In that coin toss, of course, Over the Rainbow, music by Harold Arlen and lyrics by E.Y. Yip Harburg.
Yes.
Looking at this, Judy, it's amazing. It almost didn't even make the film. The MGM execs thought it might slow the thing down when Dorothy's standing in the, barnyard singing this. They said, oh, no, take it out. But it sure hung in there.
Well, they took it out, and I think what happened was that I got to know Yip after I recorded one of his other most famous songs, Buddy, Can You Spare a Dime? He and I became friendly in the middle 70s, and he kept saying, you have to sing my other most famous song, Over the Rainbow. But he would tell me about these arguments he had with the producers of The Wizard of Oz, and they took it out, and then they put it back in, but they did not put in the bridge, when all the world is a hopeless jumble and the raindrops tumble all around, which sort of sets up the story. But I agree. I think it would have made the movie drag. But in the case of the song itself, it sets the song up beautifully.
In your new album, Paradise, you sing it with the whole intro, the whole thing, and also on the CD that accompanies the children's book. We just heard Judy Garland, and of course that's just what emblazoned in everybody's mind, the way she sings it, and that little crackle from 1939, the face, the voice, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You bring a different quality to it, and I just want to sit back, if we could, and listen now. This is from your new album, complete with the intro that some listeners may not even recognize, but don't worry, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, way up high, will come in soon enough. Judy Collins singing Over the Rainbow.
When all the world is a hopeless jumble and the raindrops tumble all around, heaven opens a magic lane. When all the clouds darken up the skyway, there's a rainbow highway to be found, leading from your window pane to a place behind the sun, just a step beyond the somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I heard of once in a lullaby. Somewhere over the rainbow, skies are blue. That you dare to dream really do come true. Someday I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me.
Judy Collins singing Over the Rainbow from her new album Paradise, and in a CD comes with the book and Peter Yarrow's imprint from Peter, Paul, and Mary. Wow. It's still right there, but it's got your Judy Collins quality, that sort of very, very open quality when you take up those big notes. I don't have the musical language, but we're going to hear other versions of this, Judy. When you compare your rendition, let's say, to the original, Judy Garland's, you're a musician. How would you describe the difference?
Well, my feeling about songs and the people that sing them is very basic and perhaps old-fashioned, but I believe the song has a life of its own, and when it lands in a singer's life, it becomes it merges into the personality of the singer, and it comes out the singer's version. It comes out the singer. No matter who sings the song transmutes itself and adapts itself. That's, of course, the sign of a great song. You know, it's interesting when Susan Boyle came about in our lives on YouTube and sang this marvelous song from Les Mis. I'll tell you something. I didn't like the song before. I really didn't. I had no actually patience for it. When she sang it, it reached me, and it reached me in a very big way. And I not only loved her for being such a fine singer, such a beautiful open-voiced singer, marvelous, you know, raised in the Scottish choirs where they know how to sing like
right,
that.
Right.
But it really convinced me that this was a great song, and I just hadn't heard the right singer sing it. And that's the way I feel about many, many songs. I fall in love with them. I don't choose them in a way they choose me, just as Over the Rainbow has.
So when you came to this, you know, not as a child, but at age 70, 71, whenever you recorded this, you know, I was struck by, here it was in the first place, written and recorded in the Depression in the 30s. Now we've got some pretty tough times on us again, but you've got a lifetime of experience in between those two as well. I mean, what did you feel yourself bringing to Somewhere Over the Rainbow?
I had recorded the song. I had performed the song once before. I was asked to do it for the Dinah Shore Show in 1981, and actually on YouTube, along with Susan Boyle's wonderful version of I Dreamed a Dream, is my singing of this song on the Dinah Shore Show with a gorgeous orchestration by Glenn Osser, the old, well, not old, but the classic orchestrator of some of the great American songbook songs. And I can see it on YouTube myself. I never recorded the song, however. I did it once or twice with orchestras because I do symphony dates and I have this fantastic score. But I hadn't lived with it. I hadn't sung it. I hadn't recorded it. It hadn't gotten under my skin. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's happened now with Over the Rainbow. It's not an easy song. And strangely enough, even though I have the range and the experience for the song, it took me a while to get inside the song. And then we adapted to one another, you might say. And I sing it like Judy Collins.
Is it a song of hope, of sorrow? What's the core emotion you feel find in it?
Terrible sorrow and terrible great joy. Because behind all the clouds, you see, and it does, that's why we need to hear today, certainly we need to hear that verse, which was eliminated from the film, but which has been a partner. You know, it was written in the days when people wrote verses, the great songwriters of the Great American Songbook, which we now call the Rod Stewart Songbook. However, the great writers always put the verse in because they wanted to set the stage. They wanted to dramatize what was happening within the song.
When all the clouds darken up the skyway, there's a rainbow highway to be found leading from your window pane to a place behind the sun. Judy Collins, stand by. We're going to hear a lot of renditions of this and get your thoughts here for music from your new album, Paradise, in this hour. Listeners, the great Judy Collins is with us. We're talking about Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Here's the Dimensions from 1960 with a kind of doo-wop version. You can join us, 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back with Judy Collins. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with singing great Judy Collins about singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow and a lot more for a long time. All kinds of renditions of this great song. There's the late Hawaiian singer behind us, Israel Kamakawiwo'ole, with his 1993 version paired with What a Wonderful World. You've heard it in a lot of movies and television commercials. 1939, the song was first came out in The Wizard of Oz, and Judy Collins came out, born in 1939. Now she's singing it herself on her new album, Paradise, and in a CD with a children's book illustrating the song. Quite wonderful. You can join the conversation this hour. Do you still get warm and dreamy when you hear Somewhere Over the Rainbow? What's the song mean to you? And were you listening when Judy Collins was first singing Someday Soon, Send in the Clowns, Both Sides Now? Was this your voice of angels in the days of folk and beyond? And what do you hear in Judy Collins' voice today in her Over the Rainbow? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Judy Collins joins us from New York. Judy, to talk about places things can go. There's a completely different kind of Hawaiian ukulele version. A million ways of coming at this song with that same heart to it.
A million ways, it's very true. And again, that's a sign of a great song. They have a life of their own. They find their way into all kinds of places and all kinds of personalities, all kinds of music styles. I love that 1960s version. Brought me back to my high school hops.
Yeah, no kidding. We have a lot of callers for you, Judy. Let's go to New York. Lyons Falls, New York. Rod, you're on the air with Judy Collins.
Thank you, Tom. First of all, what a pleasure it is to speak with Judy Collins. She's been a major part of the tapestry of my life for many, many years, going back to her album in the 60s, the singing the songs of, sorry, I've got a frog in my throat.
That's okay.
Leonard Cohen. And I wondered if she was familiar with a singer that came out, I guess, 5 or 10 years ago, Eva Cassidy. and sang just an incredible version of it. Unfortunately, we lost her to pancreatic cancer shortly thereafter. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if she was familiar with that rendition of the song.
I have heard, I think, in my lifetime, I don't know if I could count the versions. The first person I heard sing the song was the recordings on the radio, of course, Judy Garland, and then my father, of course, sang the song. And there have been many, many other singers who have tackled this song. And I also wanted to tell another story about the song, which was that Irving Berlin, who was friendly, and he must have been, you know, I think he died quite quickly thereafter, but they were friends, of course, Yip Harburg and Irving. And Irving tacked on that very end part of the song that's the repeat, you know, if happy little bluebirds fly beyond the rainbow, why, oh, why can't I? And he told Yip.
Yeah.
He told Yip that Yip could have that for free. How do you like that?
That's nice.
He didn't have to charge him for it.
Change just falling out of Irving Berlin's pocket. Let's listen to that version that Rod's talking about. How great to have you singing that end live. But I've got the recording of Eva Cassidy. Let's hear what you think of it, Judy. This is a Washington, D.C. singer. As Rod says, she passed away from cancer in 1996, but had it acclaimed posthumously when her version was played on the BBC's Radio 2 in 2000. And Eva Cassidy's Over the Rainbow.
Someday I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me. Where troubles melt like lemon drops.
Eva Cassidy, 1992. Judy, you're our pro. What do you hear there?
Well, very different and very unique. As I said, you know, whoever the singer is must take the song to his or her place, his or her center. And that's what a great singer does. That's what a great song brings to a singer. I've had, of course, meetings with songs that have done for me wonderful things, and I have brought to them my own personality, as you've mentioned a lot of them, but of course, whether it's Sending the Clowns or Both Sides Now, what you hear when you hear the singer sing the song is what the singer's personality is. That's the best possible outcome. And, you know, I was sort of blessed as I grew up with hearing the great singers of that period, whether it was Bing Crosby or Sinatra, they all brought their own personality. So it's a beautiful testimony to the fact that the artist, that's why the artist should be paid for the rendition of the song. Now, all these artists that you're hearing, when they're played on what we call terrestrial radio, they're not paid. The writer is paid, but they're not paid. So all these years that I've been making records, I've never been paid when Sending the Clowns is played on the radio, including in... Now, that's not true.
Nothing comes back to you?
Nothing. But when I'm on your show, darling, I get paid.
Well, I'm glad.
That's the difference. I'll tell you what happened. This has gone on for 80 years. It is a total criminal disaster, and we are one of a number of countries who are not in the free world who do this. All the countries in the free world other than us, including England, the UK, all of Europe, they pay the singer.
Well, I'm glad that you're still out there performing live.
So I just wanted to bring that up because we're talking about something that is a key. It's now the Grammys and other people are trying to right that wrong.
Yeah.
And it's a life and death situation for a lot of people because as they get older and they have great, great hits and they didn't write it, they don't make any money. And there are a lot of artists like that. You know, the great Frank Sinatra never made a cent except on NPR.
Okay.
So, and you got that
because
we got that and you got that because the FCC said when NPR applied for their licenses, they said, look, the country, the world, the country owns the airways. So you have to pay the singer as well as the writer.
You're beyond,
I'll get off my soapbox now.
You're beyond my pay grade there, Judy. That's over my head.
It's a big deal, and it should be talked about more and more. Nancy Sinatra actually wrote about her father's situation in the New York Times not too long ago. It's coming along. It's getting the attention that it should. However, what I will say is that the artist, and we're hearing it today, we're hearing the way in which Eva Cassidy sung this song so mm-hmm. beautifully. Such a different, she does for the song what each artist does is to bring his or her own personality into relationship with the song. It becomes a new experience.
You're very generous to listen to these with us and bring your unique and wonderful perspective to it. Let's get a call from Vermont. Debbie in Essex Junction, Vermont. You're on the air with Judy Collins.
Hi, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
I have a little different perspective on this song. I sing in a group that sings to hospice clients, and this is one of our mainstays, this song. It offers a whole different way of thinking about it. For one thing, it's so familiar that it's very comforting, and it always connects with our clients, but there's also the added part to it that if a client doesn't have any formal religious affiliation, it offers another place of transition for them, over the rainbow, somewhere different from here, which is kind of part of their journey, is where they're traveling to.
I think that's a wonderful perception about the song. As a matter of fact, you know, we think about, in terms of what's been sung, the kinds of material that I've chosen over the years, mm-hmm. whether it's Turn, 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 the wonderful, great Pete Seeger song, Amazing Grace, which I think has that kind of transformational power, which can reach anybody with any kind of belief system or not. And absolutely, Over the Rainbow reaches people in the same way, I think. It's a magical transition to something which can become a personal belief. You know, the interpretation is personal, but it's always about hope.
Does it rise to that level for you personally? You've had a great life of social activism. You've been very outspoken on many fronts. You've talked about the spiritual life a lot. You've dealt with death and sorrow in your life, the loss of your own son in 1992. Does this song rise to that level of, you know, profound transition for you?
Oh, yes, it does. And, you know, you should hear audiences when you start the song. A lot of people don't know that verse, the opening.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get to the Over the Rainbow, people go nuts. It engenders this kind of blissful excitement. I had held off going to see Wicked for a long time. I don't know why. I'm probably because I'm a snotty New Yorker in some ways, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I love Jonathan Schwartz's work. I just think he's – Stephen Schwartz's work. I think he's wonderful. But I finally went to see it now. Of course, I'm a raving fan of Wicked. I've seen it a few times. And
we just had Idina Menzel with us recently. Yeah, she's quite something.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's – this song brings people to their own inner – landscape, I think, and I think that's also the sign of a great song. It's what Amazing Grace does. When I recorded
Especially
Amazing
when you
Grace,
sing it, yeah.
Well, thank you. I recorded it in a little chapel up on Columbia campus in New York
mm-hmm.
in 1970, and who knew that people needed to hear that song desperately in an a cappella version? It became a huge hit, and it was because people needed to hear it. And I think there's a great need to hear songs like this. And I think that of course, Over the Rainbow absolutely fits into that category. Things about finding the right song when you're a singer who hunts songs, as I do. Mm-hmm. I write some of my own songs, of mm-hmm. course, but I'm always searching for the song that lifts you, whether it's a personal story. There's a great anti-war song on the new album that I just recorded called Weight of the World. I think it's the best anti-war song I've heard in years. It was written by a singer-songwriter named Amy Spies and her partner John Vesner. Well, you hear a song like that, and it fits the feelings you're having of frustration, of pain, of sorrow. And that's true. You know, the state of the world is one in which we find ourselves often in a state of pain and sorrow mm-hmm. and wishing it could be different, and wanting to find things in the artistic world of music that amplify our need for comfort. And these songs bring us comfort.
Judy Collins is with us from New York City. Her new album, just released, is Paradise. She's also got Over the Rainbow on CD with the new children's book, Over the Rainbow. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Let's go to Manchester, Tennessee. And Tim, you're on the air with Judy Collins.
Hello, thank you. And I echo what the previous caller said and what Judy Collins just said about the comfort level. I'm a chaplain with hospice, and I have appreciated this song because of its comfort. I particularly appreciate that you start a cappella. The words are clear, and folk don't need a bunch of background that overshadows the strength of the lyric. And I have greatly appreciated Amazing Grace. There are many who their spiritual needs, they do not want instrumental music. They want a cappella. And that song, again and again, has provided a great comfort.
Well, we're glad to hear it, Tim. Thank you for that call. And let me get one more from you right here, Judy. Ken in Beaufort, South Carolina. Ken, you're on the air with Judy Collins.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Ken.
So great to hear Judy. I first met Judy when I was a student at Michigan State, and we organized a concert where Judy was in her early stages of her career. And we could tell them what a fabulous voice she had.
You're taking calling 19 what, 60 something?
62, I think it was about 63 or 64.
Okay, amazing.
I was an officer in student government. It was really 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing me to Michigan. I appreciate it.
Did you know what you had there, Ken? Could you hear all that might come from Judy Collins?
Oh, there was no question. No question. And to me, her defining song will always be Sending the Clowns. That's the song. Whenever I hear it, I think Judy Collins, no matter who is singing it.
Thank you.
Ken, I'm very glad for your call, and Tim as well in Tennessee. We're going to punch out a couple more Over the Rainbows and go right to her new album. Here's Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells, 1966. Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells. Now, I don't know if they'll take that to the hospice unless it's Elvis Stairway
LaBelle
to Heaven.
Patti has a cookbook, too, you know.
Okay.
Patti's amazing.
God bless her. Wow, she's really twanging and tweaking it there.
God bless her. Yeah, that's fun. That's fun.
You know, the people often talk about this ethereal quality in your voice, kind of the opposite of what we hear there. Where does that come from? You must have thought it through. What is it in your delivery, Judy, that's got that ethereal element to it?
I would suppose that it was being raised in that period where the song, the singer, the lyric was so important, and listening to and learning the great songs that I heard on the radio and from my father. I believe in the song. It carries, the lyric always must be respected, and I have a feeling that that's where I start. And then whatever's inside me, probably my ancestors and all the Irish singers and English singers in my background that come through, I believe in that. I believe there are connections, ethereal connections to singers that find their way through into the interpretation, the tone, the sound, the clarity, the lyric.
We're going to go out of this segment with Judy Garland, just to give her one more shot.
Give her another chance.
At the great song. We'll come back and be all Judy Collins from a new album, Paradise. This is Judy Garland, 1964, in a very late rendition of the song. The great Judy Collins is with us. She's just come out with Over the Rainbow on her album, Paradise. You can join the conversation this hour. What's your question for Judy Collins on her life in music, in social activism? Did you see her perform back in the day? In the Baez, Dylan, Richie Havens days in Greenwich Village. Did you see her just last month at the Carlisle in New York? We're at 800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
If happy little bluebirds fly beyond the rainbow.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point with music legend Judy Collins.
Flows and flows of angel hair and ice cream castles in the air and feathered canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that way, but now they only block the sun.
Great Judy Collins joins us this hour from New York. Her new album is Paradise. It's got Over the Rainbow and a whole lot more. We'll hear some cuts from this new album in just a couple of minutes here. You can join the conversation this hour. She's 71, and critics are still raving over her voice. Were you listening when Judy Collins was first singing Someday Soon, Send in the Clouds, Both Sides Now, right here from 1967? What's your favorite Judy Collins moment? Favorite Judy Collins music? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. And Judy, let's get a call right off from Music City, Nashville. Julie, you're on the air with Judy Collins.
Hi, Tom and Judy. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. First of all, I wanted to say that Who Knows Where the Time Goes is my favorite of Judy. And secondly, I love that one. Secondly, I wanted to ask how you, well, I really respect that you've never let genre limit your choices of songs. And I was wondering what your experience has been with the record industry in terms of any pushback in terms of staying with a particular genre or being limited by that. So I'm just interested in that question.
That's a great question, Julie.
That is a good question. I have I had a wonderful support system when I began to record. In 1961, I started my 24-year history with Elektra Records. I was beginning in a company in which Jack Holzman, who is still around and still a great friend of mine, was running a wonderful place. There was a lot of, I think when I came on board, Josh White was with the label, Cynthia Gooding, Ed McCurdy, who wrote Last Night I Had the Strangest Dream. I started by singing a lot of traditional songs, moved into the City Singers in New York. Of course, Woody Guthrie and Pete Seeger, and then was one of the first to record Dylan and Dick Farina, Mimi Farina. And then I discovered Leonard Cohen and started singing Kurt Weill, Bertolt Brecht, the Beatles right away in my life, which kind of set the tone for the coming years, because it began, the fact that I was eccentric and chose different kinds of songs from different genres acceptable. And that's always been the case with me. It's the case on this new album that I have, Paradise, which has things from 1949, mm-hmm. like Ghost Riders, as well as, of course, Over the Rainbow from 1939. Also a song from the mists of tradition in Ireland and England, a song called The Dewy Dens of Yarrow. So yeah. I span decades and centuries and genres as well.
You've got a really nice duet on the new album with Joan Baez. We'll talk about that, but it goes back to the 1975's Diamonds and Rust from Judy Collins' new album Paradise. Let's listen.
Well, you burst on the scene, already a legend, the unwashed phenomenon, the original vagabond. You strayed into my arms, and there you stay, temporarily lost at sea. The Madonna was yours for free. Yes, the girl on the half shell.
Diamonds and Rust, 1975, Joan Baez song.
And now you're singing it. What, you must both be in your 70s now. It was already a looking back song in 1975, I guess, looking back on Baez and Dylan. How does it feel singing with your old friend after the new decades piled in there now? What perspective does that give you?
Well, it's a grand perspective, a grand sweep of history and characters. Knowing all these people as well as I have has been startling, actually, to realize. Joan and I have been friends for almost 50 years, and actually this is the second duet I've done with her. I did a song with her and Mimi in 1967, a song by Pete Seeger called Had I a Golden Thread. That was a trio, of course. And I think I might have sung a duet with T.G. Shepherd on a song on an album called Home Again. But I haven't been a duet person, so this was thrilling. And actually, it wasn't my idea. I called her to tell her I was going to sing this song, which I'm always looking around for great songs, of course. And a friend of mine had recommended that I revisit this. And so she said, oh, well, let's record it together. Let's do a duet. We actually performed this song live at the Newport Festival last year. So if you go online and go to YouTube, you'll see me and Joan punch in one of our names and Newport, and you'll see us singing Diamonds and Rust in the Rain.
I loved it. I think it's a terrific track on Paradise. I've got a Facebook question here for you. You know, not in 1975 when you've got Facebook questions. It says, could Judy please comment on issues of aging and maintaining her voice? Joan Baez has described that she works very hard to maintain her voice. Judy's voice, if anything, is better than 40 years ago, says John here. To what extent is this due to vocal training and exercise, and to what degree to recording technology, John wants to know. Judy.
Well, it's nothing to do with recording technology, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
It couldn't be possible to find a way to make that happen if it wasn't happening. But I've been very fortunate in a lot of regards. First of all, I found a great teacher in 1965. I was having a lot of trouble, and I found someone recommended by Harry Belafonte's guitarist, Ray Bokslov, who's a wonderful genius pianist designer, and also the people who ran the Indian Hill Camp up in the Berkshires, the Baumans. And I took, I listened to what they said, and I got in touch with this wonderful man, Max Margulies, and I studied with him for the next 32 years.
Wow.
That's really essentially the reason that I'm here singing the way I do. I guess also I'm very disciplined. I was a classical pianist as a child. I played with an orchestra. I'm used to the discipline of study and also the discipline of the road. I guess that's something I came by honestly because my father was a musician and was on the road sometime when he was young, and I was on the road with him.
Is it true? Was your father blind and a radio performer?
He was. He was a fascinating man, fabulous man, bright, so intelligent.
A tough kind of taskmaster in a way. I mean, I read a report somewhere that when you were just a kid, you swallowed a bottle of aspirin. You were so worried about performing Paganini for your dad.
Oh, yes. He was tough. He wanted us to be up to the mark at all times, and as he was at all times. And he was a remarkable singer, beautiful singer. And, he would write his script and his program in Braille and type it out for his engineer.
Incredible.
In those days, he played the piano. Everything was live. His music was live. He also interviewed guests on the radio from Bob Hope and Red Skelton and all kinds of other artists and performers. So we were sort of raised in the middle of this. I also think there is something about the vocal health that does have to do with the style in which I was learning and taught about singing. I think it has everything to do. I sing in something called the bel canto technique. And basically, it's very simple. You focus on the lyrics and the phrasing, and you're home free.
Not sort of on twisting the voice this way and that.
Well, it depends on the style in which you wish to be remembered and in which the reason for the style in my case is that the clarity and the phrasing are the only way that I could have kept my voice for all these years.
And as much as you're still performing, that turns out to be a very great gift, something really important for all of us that you hang on to.
grateful. I must say I'm so grateful.
Let's hear another track from Paradise, Once I Was. Here's Judy Collins, written by Tim Buckley and Larry Beckett.
Once I was a lover, and I searched behind your eyes for you. Soon there'll be another to tell you I was just a lie. And sometimes I wonder, just for a while, will you ever remember me?
Judy Collins, Once I Was, from her new album Paradise. Wow. Sounds
a song
great.
Just kills me.
Oh,
you know, it just
gosh.
Kills me. I really did. I had not thought of that song for 40 years, I don't think. And I'm writing this book about the 60s, which will come out in 2011. And it's about those 20 years of the hot years of the folk movement and all those personalities. And I knew Tim. I just adored him. He was a sweet, sweet guy, you know, doomed addict, but a sweet, sweet... Nobody was talking about recovery in those days. You couldn't go online and listen to Eminem talk about his recovery from his drug addiction. You know, it was tragic. There was nothing around, really. And I was listening, and I thought, oh, wow. I listened to him sing this song, and I thought, oh, my God, I have to sing this song.
And now there's so much more to look back on. Once I Was, and he was writing that decades ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Paul in Boston, you're on the air with Judy Collins.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi, Judy.
Hi.
Great to hear you. I'm so glad I'm getting to talk to you. Your music meant so much to me as a teenager growing up in the 70s here in Boston. Your voice was angelic like the other two J's of the folk world, Joan and Joni. And your song, Cruel Mother, the child ballad, was so achingly, it was so sad, but yet achingly beautiful, and it just moved me so deeply. And since you asked, I believe from the Wildflowers and Michael from Mountains, which was written by Joni Mitchell, your voice is just breathtakingly beautiful, and it's so aching, it makes my heart almost ache because it's just so lovely and beautiful, and it's such a privilege and honor to be able to speak to you today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for calling.
I think you've hit
that
an awful lot of people
song.
That way.
That is a touching song, The Cruel Mother. Oh, God. There was a lady lived in the north. Oh, the rose and the lily, oh. Oh, beautiful song. You know, these old songs, these old stories, why is it that they reach us and touch us so much right now? I don't know.
Well, they're all kind of carved down to the bone, aren't they? They just go straight at the heart.
Yeah, they are.
Speaking of going straight to the heart, you've got another duet on this album with Stephen Stills, an old flame of yours.
Yeah, Crosby, my old flame.
Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Of course, he had the sweet Judy Blue Eyes back in the day. I also, for you, Buffalo Springfield's Bluebird also for you. And here you're singing Last Thing on My Mind. The clock is ticking. I don't want it to go. I want to hear a little bit of this. Judy Collins and Stephen Stills today, now on her new album, Paradise, singing Last Thing on My Mind.
You got reasons aplenty for going. This I know. This I know. For the weeds have been steadily growing. Are you going away with no word of farewell? Will there be not a trace left behind? I could have loved you better. Didn't mean to be unkind. Don't you know that was the last thing on my mind?
Judy Collins and Stephen Stills, Last Thing on My Mind, from her new album, Paradise. What was it like, 40 years after the love, to be singing with Stephen Stills that way, Judy?
Well, it was wonderful. You know, he and I have remained friends and spent time together since those days. And we recorded that song in my home studio, and my husband was there taking photographs and looking onto this scene. And Stephen looked down at my feet at one point when we'd finished a take, and he said, "Oh, I remember those bunions." He said, "You used to tell me that I would get bunions if I wore these boots, and I did, right. But I had them taken off." And he said, "I see you haven't done a thing with yours." And my husband laughed and said, "Oh, my God, how romantic."
From the days when I stuck out under the sheets, maybe, or just barefoot days in the
60s. That's right. That's right. That's
wow.
Right.
And there you are, singing with him. Is that, I don't know, the relationship that comes in a duet for you, is it like a relationship in life, or is it just music?
Oh, well, nothing's just music.
No.
Music brings it all together and, you know, breaks your heart and also puts it back together. So it was wonderful, I must say. It was wonderful.
I'm sure it was. What's your performing schedule like these days?
About 80 to 100 shows a year.
Oh, my goodness.
All over the world. I just did the Glastonbury concert in a festival with 150,000 people in London, outside of London. And France. I was in France singing and doing press all over the world and singing here. Of course, the Carlisle you mentioned, which is a wonderful place. I'm going to be at the Temple of Dendur sometime in the coming months. I forget when it is exactly. I think it's in September, isn't it?
Is that
the Temple of Dendur is at the Metropolitan Museum of New York.
Okay.
Actually, I was there celebrating the funeral of my old friend Tom Hoving, who was the director of the Metropolitan Museum in the heyday of the 60s when we did our concerts in Central Park. And the woman said, "Oh, the acoustics are so terrific when you sing." She said, "Why don't you come and sing at the Temple of Dendur?" So I'm going to do that.
We're so glad that you're still singing so much all over. Audiences of 150,000, not too many for Judy Collins. The new album is Paradise. The children's book is Over the Rainbow, with Judy singing the song and the illustrations by Eric Poubere. Judy Collins, it's been a privilege and a pleasure to have you with us today. Thank you very much for your time.
What a treat to be with you today. Thank you.
We'll go out with 1975's Send in the Clowns, Judy Collins. I'm Tom Ashbrook. Thanks for joining us. This is On Point.
Isn't it queer? My timing this late in my career. But where are the clowns? There ought to be clowns. Well, maybe